Well, on behalf of the pastors, let me again thank you for your generosity, your patience that you extend to us throughout the year. And I hope you all are having a very Merry Christmas. It is so good to see each and every one of you here, especially those of you who maybe are here for the first time or were brought here by a friend or a relative. I really hope you feel at home. I hope that you feel comfortable today. I hope you feel like there's no place you'd rather be on Christmas Day than celebrating the birth of the Christ child in church with us today. It is great, great, great to have you with us. We're going to be singing several other songs throughout the morning and doing several other things throughout this worship time. And I want you to rest your lungs for a moment as I share a bit. I'm going to be sharing off and on throughout the day. To start with, I'm curious if anybody here likes nativity scenes. Do any of you have them set up at home? Sure, a lot of us do. I actually like nativity scenes as well, and I've got a few examples of some that I want to show you this morning. One of the first ones we're going to show you is a Star Wars nativity scene. There it is. Some of you maybe have gone and seen, I don't know, Rogue One or done different things over the holidays with family. We have to have a Star Wars nativity scene because I'm pretty sure the Rebel Alliance and certainly the Imperial Fleet needs Jesus. So a Star Wars nativity scene makes total sense. Next is a cat nativity scene. Who here is a cat person? You can raise your hands with pride. There you are. Yes, isn't this adorable? Cat nativity scene. If you're going to have that, we have to have a dog nativity scene. Who are the dog people in the room? There you are. Yes. It's amazing to me that you can take some dogs, and there's something iconic about a nativity scene. You can just have dogs dressed up like shepherds, and we know immediately that it's some sort of reference in some bizarre sort of way to Christmas. I found the next nativity scene pretty interesting as well. This is a timer. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this timer works. I expect you just turn the Holy Family and it just spins. And when Jesus gets back to you, it's done. I'm not sure how that works exactly. But whatever it is you're making, your cake or whatever you're working on, when the baby Jesus faces you, you know it's time to stop. Now, just think about that idea for a moment this morning, okay? Throughout this service, we're going to be spending our time talking about the Christmas story and talking about time. Those nativities are totally different, these ones we've seen up there. Some of you might think some of them are maybe a little blasphemous for that matter. But this timer one strikes me in a bizarre sort of way. The baby Jesus and his parents as a way to measure time. Now, there are a couple places in the Bible where we have the Christmas story that we often read this time of year. The book of Matthew and the book of Luke. But before you get to either of those, we have to realize that the Christmas story actually begins in the Old Testament. It begins back farther with the prophets. We're going to hear some readings today, and we're going to start with a reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. With all the scriptures we hear this morning, we're going to hear it in English, and we're also going to hear it in Swahili. So first, we'll hear it from English, and then I'll invite my friend Nondo Saidi to come forward, and he will read it in Swahili in a moment.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them.
You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy.
They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest their corn.
Or when they divide captured wealth.
For you have broken the yoke that burdened them.
And the rod that beat their shoulders.
You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago.
The boots of the invading army and all their blood-stained clothing will be destroyed by fire.
A child is born to us.
A son is given to us.
And he will be our ruler.
He will be called
Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God,
Eternal Father,
Prince of Peace.
His royal power will continue to grow.
His kingdom will always be at peace.
He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time.
The Lord Almighty is determined to do all of this.
Bwana Yesu asifiwe.
Amen.
Tutasoma katika kitabu cha nabii Isaya sura ile ya 9 mstari wake wa 2 hadi ule wa 7. Tusome kwa jina la Yesu. Watu wale waliokwenda katika giza wameona nuru kuu. Wale waliokaa katika inchi ya uvuli wa mauti, nuru imewaangaza. Umeliongeza taifa, umelizidisha furaha yao. Wanafurahi mbele zako kama furaha ya wakati wa mavuno. Kama watu wafurahivyo wanga wa nyapo nyara, kwa maana umeivunja nira ya mzigo wake na gongo la bega lake, na fimbo yake yeye aliyemwonea, kama katika siku ya Midiani. Maana silaha zote za mtu mwenye silaha wakati wa mshindo, na mavazi yaliyoviringishwa katika damu yatakuwa tayari kuteketezwa, yatakuwa kuni za kutiwa motoni. Maana kwa ajili yetu mtoto amezaliwa, tumepewa mtoto mwanamume, na uweza wa kifalme utakuwa begani mwake. Naye ataitwa jina lake Mshauri wa Ajabu, Mungu Mwenye Nguvu, Baba wa Milele, Mfalme wa Amani. Maongeo ya enzi yake na amani hayatakuwa na mwisho kamwe, katika kiti cha enzi cha Daudi na ufalme wake, kuzibitisha na kuutengemeza kwa hukumu na kwa haki, tangu sasa na hata milele. Wivu wa Bwana wa majeshi ndio utakaotenda hayo. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we have this expectation that one is coming. There's this belief that someone is going to show up in the midst of the darkness, like we talked about if you joined us last night, in the midst of our hardship, in the midst of our waiting and our seemingly hopeless situation. We're expecting a Messiah to come who will be this wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And when we get to the New Testament, when we get to the time of the New Testament, we find that Luke, interestingly enough, if you read the Christmas story, he does what we just did. He doesn't start with Jesus. He goes back before that. He begins with the birth of a relative of Jesus, a guy that you might have heard of, a guy that comes to be known as John the Baptist. And he actually starts even before that. He starts with John the Baptist's parents, who have been longing and they've been waiting and they have been expecting God to hear their prayer. They've not been able to have a child. And an angel appears to John's father, Zechariah, and says, I know that you've been longing to have a baby, and then you are going to have one. You will have a child, and you're going to name your child John. And John is going to prepare the way for this other child to come, this one who will be the Messiah, this one who will save the world. And then the angel says something I think that's very interesting. He says to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Now, Zechariah didn't believe this was going to happen, and he had doubted it. So the angel says, now you'll be silent, and you won't be able to speak until this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. The angel shows up to Zechariah and tells him that God has not abandoned human history, that God has not forgotten about us, that God has been at work in our lives all along, and some really, really big things are about to go down. But you, Zechariah, you didn't believe me. And so you're not going to be able to speak until they happen at the appointed time. That phrase, at the appointed time, is what I want you to remember this morning. We have this story about the birth of John. We have this story about an angel appearing to another person, to a young girl named Mary. And then we have the story of another birth. This time it's Mary giving birth to a baby that comes to be known as Jesus. This is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Pastor Steve is going to come and read first in English. Londo is going to come back up again and read in Swahili as well. Come now, my friend, Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7.
Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage, and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room.
Tutasoma katika Injili ya Luka, kama ilivyoandikwa na Mtakatifu Luka, sura ya pili, mstari wa nne, hadi ule wa saba. Yusufu naye aliondoka Galilaya toka mji wa Nazareti, akapanda kwenda Uyahudi mpaka mji wa Daudi uitwao Bethlehemu, kwa kuwa yeye ni wambari ya jamaa ya Daudi. Tano, aandikwe pamoja na Mariamu mkewe ambaye amemposa naye ana mimba. Sita, ikawa katika kukaa huko siku zake za kuzaha zikatimia, akamzaa mwanawe kifungua mimba, akamvika nguo za kitoto, akamlaza katika hori ya kulia ng'ombe, kwa sababu hawakupata nafasi katika nyumba ya wageni. Amen.
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 Amen. And so we have this Christmas story. We have the stories that we know, we're familiar with the when Quirinius was governor of Syria, the part from Luke. We have the wise men that we read about in Matthew. And in those two passages, we know all about this birth of Jesus. God has not abandoned the world. God has come into the world. And God is at work restoring the world and redeeming it and reconciling it and renewing it and bringing back all the things to the way they were supposed to be in the beginning. All the ways that they can still be today. What comes next is this electric announcement, this stunning announcement that is given about the birth of this child whom people have been waiting for years and years and years. The time was not right, but now at the appointed time, the announcement comes to the shepherds. Pastor Steve, Nando, will you come and read for us from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20?
Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds had told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told.
Tutasoma katika kitabu cha Luka, sura ile ya pili, mstari wa nane. Hadi ule wa 20. Na katika nchi ile ile walikuwako wachungaji wakikama kondeni na kulinda kundi lao kwa zamu usiku. Malaika wa Bwana akawatokea ghafula, utukufu wa Bwana ukawangalia pande zote, wakaingiwa na hofu kuu. Malaika akawaambia, "Msiogope, kwa kuwa mimi ninawaletea habari njema ya furaha kuu itakayokuwa kwa watu wote. Maana leo katika mji wa Daudi amezaliwa kwa ajili yenu Mwokozi, ndiye Kristo Bwana. Na hii ndiyo ishara kwenu: mtamkuta mtoto mchanga amevikwa nguo za kitoto, amelala katika hori ya kulia ng'ombe." Maana walikuwako pamoja na huyo malaika wingi wa jeshi la mbinguni wakimsifu Mungu na kusema, "Atukuzwe Mungu juu mbinguni, na duniani iwe amani kwa watu aliyowarizia." Ikawa malaika hao walipoondoka kwenda zao mbinguni, wale wachungaji waliambiana, haya na twendeni mpaka Bethlehemu tukalione hilo lililo fanyika alilotujulisha Bwana. Wakaenda kwa haraka, wakamkuta Mariamu na Yusufu na yule mtoto mchanga amelala horini. Walipomuona wakatoa habari walioambiwa juu ya huyo mtoto. Wote waliosikia wakastaajabu kwa hayo walioambiwa na wachungaji. Lakini Mariamu akayaweka maneno haya yote akiyafikiri moyoni mwake. Wale wachungaji wakarudi huku wanamtukuza Mungu na kumsifu kwa mambo yote waliyosikia na kuyaona kama walivyoambiwa. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Zechariah is told that these things are going to happen at their appointed time, and then they happen. Jesus is born. He is Lord from the moment of his birth. And there's this great celebration, such that there are angels that show up as well. You might have been with us, I think it was maybe last Sunday or the week before, where Pastor Eric mentioned that any time an angel appears, the first thing they say is, "Fear not." It's true. You can go back and you look in your Bible. I think it's maybe day one of Angel Training Academy. You're told to just tell people, don't be afraid, because whenever you go down there and you have some message that you need to share, you need to say, "Fear not," because the sight of you is just going to make people wet their pants. Yeah, I mean, you're an angel of God. You're going to scare them to death. There's angels, there's shepherds, there's this mother, this father, there's this anticipation of a child that's going to be born at the appointed time. And then the parents, Mary and Joseph, take the baby Jesus and they take him to the temple. The Christmas story doesn't end at the manger. They take him to the temple, and the people that they meet there, they also have powerful, visceral responses to this baby that they've been waiting for. First person they run into, it's a guy named Simeon. We hear about him in Luke 2, 25 through 32. Pastor Steve Nundo, if you would come and read for us. Luke 2, 25 through 32.
A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. He said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel."
Luka sura ya pili, mstari wa 25 hadi wa 32. Natazama pale Yerusalemu, palikuwa na mtu jina lake Simeoni, naye ni mtu mwenye haki, mcha Mungu, akitarajia faraja ya Israeli. Na Roho Mtakatifu alikuwa juu yake, naye alikuwa ameonywa na Roho Mtakatifu ya kwamba hataona mauti kabla ya kumuona Kristo wa Bwana. Basi akaja hekaluni ameongozwa na Roho, na wale wazazi walipomleta mtoto Yesu ndani ili wamfanyie kama ilivyokuwa desturi ya sheria, yeye mwenyewe alimpokea mikononi mwake, akamshukuru Mungu akisema, "Sasa Bwana, wamruhusu mtumishi wako, kwa maana kama ulivyosema, kwa kuwa macho yangu yameuona wokovu wako uliouweka tayari machoni pa watu wote, nuru ya kuwa mwangaza wa mataifa na kuwa utukufu wa watu wako Israeli." Amen.
Amen. And as you are, I want to ask the children or the young at heart a question. How many of you could not wait for Christmas Day to get here? You know, you've just been waiting and waiting. It's never going to arrive. It's just April. And when's Christmas going to come? Or it's worse when it's like 5 days ago and it's 4 days ago and it still can't get here fast enough. Now imagine if you had to wait for years for Christmas to arrive. If you had to wait for decades for your prayers to be answered. If you were waiting for generations for God to answer your prayer. As we said before, people have been waiting a long time for this baby, year after year after year after year. Simeon is an old man, and he's been waiting for the birth of this child year after year after year. If you read the text, if you heard the text, some of the versions say he was waiting for the consolation of Israel year after year after year, but there's no baby. And then he goes to the temple area on one particular day, and he sees the child. Ah, he says, now I can die. I mean, this is essentially what he says. I've been waiting and longing for this my entire life. What I've desired with all my heart has finally come. This is like a thirst I had that couldn't be quenched. But now I've seen the child. Now I'm okay. Now I can die. Surrounding the birth of Jesus were all sorts of people who were waiting and waiting and waiting year after year for this child to be born. Another one of the people in the temple that day, when the young mother and father came with their young child, was a woman named Anna. We read about her in Luke 2, 36 through 38. Pastor Steve, Nando.
There is also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She is now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who is looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Luka, huyo, sura ya pili, mstari wa 36 hadi ule wa 38. Palikuwa na nabii mke jina lake Ana binti Fanueli wa kabila ya Asheri, na umri wake ulikuwa miaka mingi. Alikuwa amekaa na mume miaka 7 baada ya unawali wake, naye ni mjane wa miaka 84. Haondoki katika hekalu ila huabudu usiku na mchana kwa kufunga na kuomba. Huyu alitokea saa ile ile, akamshukuru Mungu na wote waliokuwa wakiutarajia ukombozi katika Yerusalemu, akawatolea habari zake. Amen.
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 Amen. Sometimes we offer prayers to God and we stand and we sing and we pray. Sometimes we make an offering to God of our gifts, of our talents, of our time. Sometimes we make an offering to God of our resources. I'm going to ask ushers to come forward at this time, and we are going to wait on the Lord for his tithes and our offerings. You know, God doesn't need your money. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills also. God entrusts things to our care so that we can use them to bless this world. You can use your gifts, and I imagine you've used your resources to bless people even perhaps this morning. You gave something so that someone else could have a big smile on their face. This is part of why we give, to put a smile on the faces of people. We bless. Thank you for giving. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've given to us, that you've trusted us to hold, and we pray now that you will bless them as we give back to you. May they be used to put a smile on someone's face. May they be used to brighten someone's day. May they be used to bring a message of hope, of salvation, of light. And may we thank you, Lord, that we're able to be a part of this. In your name we pray. Amen. Teaching our friends English, they need to teach us Swahili. You need to be willing to learn along with me so we can sing together. So we aren't just having special songs here and there, but it's the church gathering together in one voice, praising one Savior, even though we may pray in different languages. Now, we've been talking about Zechariah, and here's one of the things I find absolutely fascinating about this whole story. When Zechariah is told that God's going to send a Messiah, a Savior is going to be born, and it's going to happen at the appointed time, there's a certain word there that's used for time. We've heard English this morning, we've heard Swahili this morning, and I want to teach you yet another language this morning. You may have heard me talk about this before. It's Greek. The Greek word that is used to translate time there is chronos. Ah, my Greek font didn't translate, but you see at the top anyway. Chronos is the Greek word that's used here. This is where we get the word chronology. This is what we often mean when we say time in our Western culture. This is the word we're using, chronos. It refers to time that moves forward in a sequential fashion. You have a watch, and we can see that things are moving along a little bit faster. Let's go. There was yesterday. There was today. There's going to be tomorrow. There's the day after that. There's the day when you return from your Christmas break. There'll be the new year. There's time. It moves forward. Chronos, sequential time. Last Christmas, this Christmas, the Christmas that's coming next year. Chronos, it's what a watch does. It measures time in sequential movement. When Zechariah is told that all this is going to happen at the appointed time, the angel doesn't use that word. The angel uses a very different word that we in English don't have a good translation for. The word he uses is kairos. Kairos refers to something happening at the opportune moment. Kairos is an undetermined amount of time or a set of time. It's just when something is going to happen. The angel says, listen, you've been living in chronos time, but when God shows up, it's not ordinary time. Something special is happening when God moves. God moves in kairos. So you've got your calendar, you've got your watch, you've got your timer, you've got your phone, you've got that kind of time, but there's another whole together different kind of time, a time when things happen. And the angel says that God is about to invade chronos with some kairos. If you're like me, then you long for things. We all do. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet we know there's not peace on earth. Jesus is the great healer, and yet this Christmas everything is not healed. Jesus saves us, but which evidently is just giving up the ghost. And so we celebrate tonight. We celebrate the time that we have. But we also long for that time that is yet to come. We celebrate what we've got, but we also long for that moment when everything is fixed, when everything is healed, when everything is repaired. We live in chronos, we long for kairos. The challenge while you're waiting for kairos is to not get bitter. It's to not get disillusioned. It's to not grow impatient and think that somehow God has forgotten us, that God has somehow abandoned us, but rather we allow God to shape us and allow God to form us so that when kairos hits, we're ready for it and we can celebrate. When you're trapped in chronos, you long for kairos. Maybe this Christmas you're longing for something, and so it's hard for you to celebrate because you know there are some things that are unhealed. There's some things that are unresolved. There's some things that are unreconciled. And so you are celebrating this birth, and yet at the same time you're longing for something. There are two kinds of time, after all. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story about some wise and some foolish maidens. There's a bridegroom who's coming to this wedding, and the bridegroom is a long time in coming. And according to the parable, all of the maidens fall asleep. Evidently, sleep is not the problem here. It is in other stories, but it's not in this one. They all fall asleep. Where the parable turns is around the fact that the bridegroom is delayed. The bridegroom doesn't come right away. The bridegroom waits. There's this gap of time between the time the bridegroom was going to come and when he actually arrives. And in that time, both the wise and the foolish bridesmaids all fall asleep. And it makes me wonder, why would Jesus tell a story about a God who waits? About a God where there's a delay? God is present and God is absent. God is both at the same time. We see this in many of his stories. That can go back to Matthew 21. And Jesus tells a parable about a man who rented out his vineyard and then he leaves. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He dug a wall around it. He dug a wine press in it. He built a watchtower. And then he rented the vineyard to some farmers, and he moved to another place. God is present, and yet he is absent.
In chapter 22 of Matthew, it begins with Jesus telling the parable of a wedding banquet. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And as you read through the parable, you realize that the son is nowhere to be found in this entire story. It's about the banquet. There's no mention of the groom. The whole point of the marriage of the son, who is not present, is the actual unfolding of the plot. God is present and God is absent. A little bit later on in chapter 25, where I just mentioned, after the parable of the wise and foolish maidens, Jesus says again, it's like a man who goes on a journey. And he called his servants and he entrusted his wealth to them. I think we could say these are all parables about God's presence and God's absence as we wait. We find in a lot of these parables a key character who's the mover of the story, this person who kicks the plot into gear, but then it's not around. This person who maybe starts things going, but then seems absent and distant. You know, in Jesus' day, the question was, well, yeah, we all worship God. Yeah, we know God is present. We have the temple. We know where God lives. We know where God is. But, you know, God was supposed to do something and God hasn't done it yet. Where is God? With the things that we see around us, when that boy was abused, or when that girl was neglected, or when that family was abandoned, we can ask very honestly, where is God? When we got cancer, when there was this horrible calamity, when that person got left out in the cold, we can ask very honestly, where is God? To be a person of faith in this world, with the kind of suffering that we see around us, with the profound, massive ways in which our world is off kilter, to be a person of faith is to live with an understanding of God's presence, even in the midst of what feels like absence. Yes, God is present, and joy is here, and peace is now. But if we're honest, there's also an understanding that there are times where it feels like God is amazingly silent, where we live in that tension. Jesus tells parable after parable after parable of how we live in the tension of God's presence and the absence. Yes, God is close to you. Yes, God is near. And yes, we should and we can and we do sing about God. And yes, we can sense his spirit. But yes, at the same time, the world is really, really broken on a number of very conspicuous places and occasions. And God doesn't seem to have shown up to stop these horrible things from happening. I expect I'm not alone in pointing to certain occasions in my own life where I feel that this is exactly what happened, and I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. Where was God when this happened? There's presence in absence. And with all the joy that comes from knowing about the birth of a child and the presence of God with us, we have to realize this is the setting for Christmas. It makes me wonder if presence and absence is something we ought to stress more than we do, especially for people who are new to following Christ. I mean, how many people do you know who have walked away from the faith, walked away from God, from the Bible, from church, from whatever, because at some key moment they decided that if God was real, then he would have shown up in this way, in this manner, and because God didn't show up the way that we expected, the way we wanted, we said, enough, this is just a waste of my time. If you have a sense of presence and absence, then you don't have to walk away because you understand they're both a part of it. In a number of Jesus' parables, this is a major assumption. The major character is present and yet absent at the same time. This is the tension we pay attention to. And you know, if that's not enough in Jesus' parables, there's another message about the waiting and the wanting that Jesus gives in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew 21, we find a man rents his vineyard to some farmers, and these farmers produce. These farmers all do something with the land. In chapter 22, the king sends his servants to get some people to come to the banquet, and the parable becomes about these outsiders who are invited inside when they're going to come, and it's about what they do with that invitation. They're in, they're accepted, they're welcomed, they're invited. And then in chapter 25, we start with verse 14, where Jesus says, again, it's like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. This is about the number of people, and everyone is given wealth. Notice that. Jesus doesn't tell parables which start with someone who's automatically in and someone who's automatically out. These are not the good God Jesus people and the sinful, bad, wretched people. Jesus does not create separation. He tells parables of inclusion, where everybody is invited, where everybody is entrusted, where everybody is given wealth, where everybody is a part of this, the parables are about how you respond to the invitation that you've been given. The parables are about, you know what? You've been asked to come to the party. Are you going to come inside or are you not? You've been given phenomenal wealth. Are you going to use it or not? Jesus doesn't tell parables about all those people who are missing it and those who are getting it. He tells parables about everyone who has received and whether or not you're going to do something with a gift that you've been given at Christmas time. Now and not yet. Presence and absence. You have it. Will you use it? How will you redeem the time? You know, as we ponder that, I expect we could all learn a bit more on how to wait before the Lord. We could learn a bit more on how to pray. I want to pause for just a moment and do that right now. Let's just pause and let's pray and ask God to bless us as we learn to wait. Lord, thank you that we can be here on Christmas morning. Thank you for the singing we've had already today, for the songs we've lifted up, the scriptures we've heard, the way we've gathered together as a family. And we thank you for all the journeys that have brought us to this place. Not all have been pleasant, certainly not all have been easy. But they're a part of our story. And you've redeemed us and seen us through. And on days like today, Lord, we can be filled with hope that another day is dawning, that a new year is coming, that your presence in our lives means that everything has changed. We've all been given this gift of grace. We've all had each of our sins forgiven. The question isn't, are we forgiven or not? The question is, do we receive it or not? The question isn't, are we in or not? The question is, what do we choose to do as people who have been given the opportunities to walk with God? Help us today to learn to hear you and to see you even in the midst of the silence and the darkness. Help us, Lord, to be people who shine light and who are salt and who season this world, knowing that sometimes we are the only Jesus some will ever see. Help us to reflect you in the good times and in the bad, to trust you on Christmas morning, when perhaps it's easier to get up and come to church, and also in the midst of the long summers when there's a thousand other things we'd rather do, the presence and the absence, Lord. May we learn to do with these gifts. May we learn to live with this grace in a way that honors you. And may we give you thanks. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, God doesn't have to do things for us for God to be good. God has always been good. In God's time, God sent Jesus to the world and said, I'm sending him to save the world. You're going to be okay. Trust him. Listen to him. Do what he says. And so when Jesus came, he opened up this whole new world for us. He offers forgiveness. He offers hope. He offers liberation. He offers healing. He offers peace. And this Christmas, you can trust him. You can trust Jesus. You can trust Jesus with your future. You can trust him with your hopes. You can trust him with your past, with your present. You can trust him with your sins. You can trust him with your sexuality. You can trust him with your checkbook. You can trust Jesus today. You can trust him with your family. You can trust him with that awkward relationship and you're really not sure what to do next. You can trust him with your infertility. You can trust him in the midst of the chaos of way too many kids. You can trust Jesus in this fullness of time, because in the fullness of time, God sent his son to heal the world, and he can be trusted. And in the meantime, when everything isn't fixed and there isn't peace and the healing hasn't come and you're in Kronos and you're longing for Kairos, you can trust him then also. You can celebrate this Jesus during Christmas, and you can also beat your chest and you can sob and you can howl along for that healing and for that wholeness, because God says, give all of that to me. Give me the good, give me the bad, give me the ugly, give me your broken, give me your yesterdays, give me your todays, give me your tomorrows. I sent my son and he's going to clean the whole thing up. So you can trust him. This Christmas, you can trust Jesus. I mean, is there any way in which you're operating in your time and things aren't happening like they're supposed to, and your prayer has been, God, show up. I need some Kairos in the midst of this Kronos. God is saying to you, just be patient. Hold on. Hold on. I haven't forgotten about you. I waited lots of years to bring Jesus. I'll show up. So trust me with this. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me, you can trust me. A baby has been born. He is Christ the Lord. In the fullness of time, he came. Because of that, we're all going to be okay. Because of that, we can have a Merry Christmas. Because of that, we can respond and choose to live in the now and the not yet. As people who are saved, as people who are being saved, as people who strive to be holy as God is holy. May you know without a doubt that God is love and that Christ has come. May you celebrate Him this Christmas. May you know that God is with you, and may God richly bless you. Mungu akubariki. May God bless you, and may you have a very Merry Christmas. So go in peace, and may you know in the now and in the not yet that Christ is here. Christ has come. Christ will come again. May God bless you. May you have a very happy new year. Merry Christmas to you all. You're dismissed.